Members, please register their presence by voting. Clerk, please take quorum.
Thirty present, ten absent.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, Representatives Bradley, Dankworth, Kelly, Lathine, Meekins, Miles, and Nackak are excused from a call to the House today. I'll ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Our chaplain today is Pastor Bryce Quinn, the Church of God. The House please rise for prayer.
Lord, we come to you today with a sincere heart, wanting supreme guidance in our lives. Help us to be mindful of our responsibility to our God, our families, our state, and our nation. Help us to trust in thee as in songs. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. For thou my strong rock. For a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privately for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Have your way in our decisions today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Representative Rode. Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please certify us to the correctness of the Daily Journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify us to the correctness of the Journal for the 80th day.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the Journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 80th day.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there introductions? Guests. Representative Rode.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, we have a guest from the owner of the Decatur Inn, which is south of Seldotna on the Sterling Highway, and it's my pleasure, privilege to introduce Roke Caberly.
Representative Osterbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, as one of my constituents from Sandpoint, he's down on a vacation. His wife is working, city clerk, and she's on a clerk seminar down here in Juneau. They'll be leaving tomorrow morning back to Sandpoint. Then Gallery B is Rule Holmberg, Jr.
Are there any messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed House Bill number 780, Special Appropriation to the National Council on Alcoholism, Alaska Region, effective date with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 780, Finance, new title, and transmitting same for consideration. The Senate has passed the following and it is returned. House Joint Resolution number 66, requesting National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to assist in development of Alaska bottom fish fisheries. A resolution has been sent to enrolling. The President has granted powers of free conference to the Conference Committee considering Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 40, State and Municipal Employment, and House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 40, Amended House. The Senate Free Conference Committee members are Senator Curtula, Chairman, Senator Orsini, Senator Ferguson. The Senate has adopted the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. Honoring Alice Harrigan of Sitka by all members of the Senate, congratulating Christy Lou Nussbaum by all members of the Senate. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted herewith for consideration. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 311, amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act authorizing the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board to issue club permits.
Referred to the Committees on Health, Education, Social Services, and Judiciary.
Senate Bill number 453, by Sackett, Hackney, Curtula, Ray, and Rohde, an act relating to student loans.
Referred to Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
The The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 627, the budget, under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 627 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Greening, Duncan, Buchholz, Swanson, Schaefer, Guy, Haugen, Rode, Freeman, and Cooper. House Bill 727 has no 627 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions and citations.
House Resolution Number 20 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, requesting the U.S. House Committee on Education and Labor to retain the present language of Section 5D2 of Public Law 81-874 as amended.
It's going to be taken up as a special order of business today.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House bills?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of the calendar. Clerk, please read the first item on the calendar.
House Bill Number 783 by Duncan and Eliason, an act making a special appropriation to the Alaska State Council on the Arts and providing for an effective date. The Committee on HES has had House Bill 783 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Bennett, Nackack, Buchholz, Byrne, and Parr. Signing no recommendation, Cotton and Phillips. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 783 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Duncan, Buchholz, Swanson, Meekins, Guy, Haugen, Rode, Freeman, and Greening. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, unless members have amendments, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 783 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 783 in third reading.
House Bill Number 783 by Duncan and Eliason, an act making a special appropriation to the Alaska State Council on the Arts and providing for an effective date.
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Maybe I could just very briefly explain the legislation. The appropriation of $15,000 each goes to three fine arts camps located in the state. The Southeast Alaska Regional Fine Arts Camp is located in Sitka. The Alaska Fine Arts Camp is at Kings Lake, which is outside of Anchorage, and the University of Alaska Summer Music Camp. These camps have all been in existence for a number of years in the state. They offer summer courses, a summer camp for students in music and in other arts. And I think they do a very fine job and should be supported. One of the problems they've had in the past is that dealing with finances. They've never been able to get firmed up at adequate time anyway, what their finances were going to be and what kind of budget they could look for in the coming year. They bring in instructors from around the state. They also, if instructors in the state of Alaska are not available, will go outside the state to bring in instructors in art and music to present the program to the students. And of course, that takes some commitment by the instructors, and they have to know, have to be able to plan ahead of time whether or not they're going to be able to participate. Therefore, it's necessary that the art camps be assured of funding. This is not a new program. Last year, we addressed this appropriation through the budget document. We included under the State Arts Council money for these three camps. We're using a different approach this year, and the reason why is because that budget document is usually not firmed up until sometime near the end of June. Therefore, the arts camps cannot rely on having that funding, they cannot plan, and it causes them much difficulty. This, I think, is a much better approach. Hopefully, if the legislation can progress timely through the legislature, they'll know within several weeks whether or not they'll have adequate funding and at what level program they can plan for. I think it's a good piece of legislation. All I've talked to think the camps are very successful, and I might add that the camps draw on students from around the state, not just from the communities where they're located. All Southeast participates. I understand many of the rural areas participate in the camps in Anchorage and in Fairbanks. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 783 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Are there any members who wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 1 Nay, 7 Excused.
So House Bill 783 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 783 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Representative Urien. House, please stand at ease. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill number 876 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to minimal electrical standards. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 876 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Carpenter, Brown, and McKinnon. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 876 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 876 in third reading.
House Bill number 876 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to minimal electrical standards.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, this is just a routine housekeeping measure that we go through every few years to update the state's electrical standards.
So further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 876 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Are there any members who wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 1 Nay, 8 Excused.
Representative Osterbach's vote didn't register on the roll call, therefore the roll call will be waived. Take a new vote on House Bill 876. Question is, shall House Bill 876 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Is there any member who wishes to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
32 Yeas, 1 Nay, 7 Excused.
So House Bill 876 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 888 by the Rules Committee, an act designating the bowhead whale as a state marine mammal. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 888 under consideration. Three members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, Malone, and Miller. Signing no recommendation, Bennett, Snyder, Urien, and Smith. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read amendment number one.
Amendment number one by Mr. Urien. Page 1, lines 6 and 7. Amend the bill title to read, an act designating the bowhead whale as a state marine mammal and designating the mosquito as the state insect. Beginning on line 18, add new section 3 to read, section 3, legislative intent. By recognizing the mosquito as a state insect, the legislature intends to give recognition not only to the cunning persistence and appetite of this pesky little insect, but also to the fact that it has survived unlimited fatal attempts at making its entire species extinct by spraying, slapping, stomping, swatting, and even gunfire, and it will remain a feisty little devil for unlimited generations to come. Section 4, AS 449, is amended by adding a new section to read. Sec 449-130, State Insect. The mosquito is the state insect.
Representative Urien.
I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
There's objection, Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, over the years, I've been requested by numerous students throughout the state to declare the mosquito as a state insect. I think we are all well aware of its presence many times, and I think it's appropriate during this day when we're about to declare our largest marine mammal the state marine mammal that we also declare one of our smallest insects the state insect.
Further discussion? Representative Miller?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I can enjoy the levity of the situation. I presume it's not all that serious. However, the basic resolution is serious, and there are serious considerations relative to the subsistence of the Eskimo people who rely on this bowhead whale. So if the pursuers of this amendment are serious, we'll certainly be glad to give it consideration in the committee process. But under the circumstances here today, I think it's fine to have a little fun. I considered having a little fun with it myself and suggesting that perhaps the ice worm might be the state invertebrate. But that aside, I think the time now is to get back to the seriousness of the thing and defeat the amendment.
Representative Urien?
Mr. Speaker, it's true. I did, after the past several days of serious debate on this floor, I thought probably was time for a little levity, but since the majority leader wishes to keep us all serious and no humor involved, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the mosquito buzz off and the amendment be withdrawn.
Hearing no objection, the amendment's withdrawn. Unfortunately, it's too late for individual sponsorship of legislation. I'd be glad to co-sponsor a bill on this with you, Representative Urien. Ms. Clerk, are further amendments to the bill?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the House Bill 876, no, I beg your pardon, I guess it's wrong on the board up there. That House Bill 888 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 888 in third reading.
House Bill number 888 by the Rules Committee, an act designating the bowhead whale as a state marine mammal.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, just a brief word on this piece of legislation. It's not too often that we have the opportunity to vote for legislation for two good reasons. The first reason, of course, that I think this is good legislation is that actually, as a matter of fact, there just isn't any animal in the world more fitting of recognition than this magnificent bowhead whale, which has been a part-time resident of Alaska for since time immemorial, since the whales left the land and went back into the water. And it's just a magnificent animal, and it's if it is appropriate for us to have state trees or state flowers or state other designations, certainly this is a very worthy designation. There's also a very good second social reason why this legislation is both timely and appropriate. As we all know, the actual survival of a significant portion of our population depends on the intelligent, respectful harvesting of this animal. This resolution gives us this opportunity today, when it's really important, to say, to the world, in fact, and literally to the world, that in recognizing this magnificent animal as our state marine animal, that we are also recognizing the very respectful, conservation-oriented, intelligent use that the Eskimo people have put to the harvesting of this animal, not for just a few years or even a few hundred years, but for thousands of years. And I think it's a message that I don't think this is going to, for instance, reverse the thinking of the International Whaling Commission. Nothing could be that simple. But I think it gives us an opportunity to send a message to those people to say that, hey, we who truly honor this magnificent whale also honor the people who have been living with this magnificent animal for all of their years on this continent. And I think it's a grand opportunity for us.
Further discussion? Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to point out, of course, that I did pass out this little comparative study of the sizes and shapes of whales, but that wasn't the purpose of the purpose for this is to let you know that there are other states in the United States that have adopted certain whales as their marine mammal. One, for instance, the state of California has adopted the California gray whale as their marine mammal. Connecticut has adopted the blue whale, and Hawaii the humpback whale. And Florida is has the manatee, which is not a whale, but it is a marine mammal. So the state of Alaska would be among those states that have adopted as their marine mammal one of these magnificent creatures of the sea. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 888 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Are there any members who wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Two yeas, no nays, eight excused.
So House Bill 888 has passed the House. Representative Miller?
Speaker, this brings us to the end of the prepared daily calendar. I'll ask the unanimous consent at this time that resolution number... Would you refresh my memory, Mr. Speaker? 20, be brought up as a special order of business at this time.
Clerk, please read House Resolution 20. Hearing no objection to the motion, clerk, please read House Resolution 20.
House Resolution Number 20 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, requesting the U.S. House Committee on Education and Labor to retain the present language of Section 5D2 of Public Law 81-874 as amended.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the members will have on their desks a copy of a memorandum from Mr. Doyle, which quotes a telegram from the chairman of the Education Committee of the National Council of State Legislatures, and also gives you a copy of the resolution. Mr. Speaker, this information was received from the National Council of State Legislatures Tuesday night, and I had it checked out with the Department of Education yesterday, and to make sure of what effect, if any, it would have on the state of Alaska, because there are times when such actions taken by Congress don't really affect us. The information I received from the Department of Education was that this would cost us about $16.5 million next year, is the best guess they could make. We considered the possibility of a normal vehicle for addressing Congress, which would be a House joint resolution. But the members will note about in the middle of the page in the memorandum that this full committee is meeting April 4th. There didn't seem to be time to get through a House joint resolution. So with the acting in concert with the chairman of the HES committee and the other body, we drew up identical House and Senate resolutions, and in the hopes that these can be passed and can reach Congress in time for that meeting to have some effect on their decision. If anyone in the body has not, may have forgotten what the 874 money is, Mr. Speaker, this is what the federal government gives the various school districts to make up for the impact of federal installations or federal land usage nearby. It makes it for people who have, for children whose parents work and or live on federal land. There's an impact payment to that to take care of the school costs, since we are not allowed to tax federal property. And but the resolution, I think, is fairly self-explanatory, but I'll be very happy to answer any questions I can.
Is there further discussion? Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to remind the body that a yes vote is against D2.
Further discussion. Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Resolution Number 20 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Representative Smith? Clerk, please take the roll.
Thirty-two yeas, no nays, eight excused.
So House Resolution number 20 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the last item on the calendar.
Citation commending Nancy Pease by Representative Rudd.
Representative Rudd?
I move for adoption of the citation.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted and the citation is approved. The record shows that the citation was approved unanimously. Brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Are there any special orders? Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker, I apologize. May I request the privilege of the floor to speak on an opportunity to enhance the economic well-being of the state of Alaska?
Hearing no objection, you have the floor, Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Speaker, I'm sure that every member of this body is fully aware of the parameters governing the establishment of the wellhead price for crude oil at Prudhoe Bay. Mr. Speaker, wellhead price is simplistically expressed by the equation wellhead price minus South 48 dockside price, wellhead price equals South 48 dockside price minus the total transportation costs from the wellhead to the dockside. The element significant to my remarks is that the portion, that small portion, or relatively small portion of the total transportation cost attracted by marine shipment of Prudhoe crude from Valdez to dockside markets. Mr. Speaker, I am told that over the water cost from Valdez to a West Coast dockside market is of the order of 70 cents per barrel, while over the water cost from Valdez to Gulf of Mexico docksides approximates $3.20 a barrel. Mr. Speaker, this is a difference of $2.50 a barrel in Prudhoe Bay wellhead price. I am told that Prudhoe Bay is now producing about 1.1 million barrels per day of crude oil, and I'm further told that some 600,000 barrels per day of that is being marketed at Gulf Coast ports. Mr. Speaker, the marine transportation cost to ship oil from Valdez to Japanese ports approximates the cost to ship Japanese-owned oil from the Middle East to East Coast ports and is of the same order of magnitude as the cost to ship oil from Valdez to West Coast ports. Mr. Speaker, the export of Japan of Alaskan oil that is in excess to West Coast U.S. demand in exchange for Japanese-owned oil delivered to the U.S. East Coast. With this situation, the Prudhoe Bay wellhead price for some 600,000 barrels per day will increase at least, and I say at least, $2 per barrel. Based on these figures, severance tax revenue will be increased 20 cents per barrel. That's $120,000 per day. And royalty oil revenue will increase $2 per barrel, or $150,000 per day, for a grand total increase in state revenue of $270,000 per day, and that is about $100 million per year. Mr. Speaker, the sizable shortfall from potential, and I say potential, state revenue developed over 3 weeks ago when Pump Station 8 was brought on the line. I'm told that by virtue of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Transportation Act, the President of the United States has the authority to permit the above mentioned crude oil exchange. Yet, to this point in time, I am not aware of any current great effort on the part of either our congressional delegation or the administration to establish a dialogue with the President on this subject. Mr. Speaker, for the good of all Alaskans, it is incumbent that no stone be left unturned in striving to encourage the President to be permissive of a crude oil exchange with Japan. Other than maritime unions, I know of no concerted opposition to this. Mr. Speaker, I urge this body, no, in fact, I implore this body to take action and address itself to developing ways and means of accomplishing an exchange of Alaskan oil in excess of West Coast demand for an equivalency of Japanese oil delivered to the East Coast. May I suggest we develop a brochure of facts, obtain an audience with appropriate people in Washington, D.C., for the express purpose of convincing the President to permit an Alaska crude oil exchange with Japan. I am confident that we will have available from the Alaska oil industry their material aid and support in this effort. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any more special orders? Representative Guy. Clerk, please indicate the presence of Representative Guy in the chambers. Are there any more special orders? Representative Byrne.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Speaker. May I have the privilege of the floor to make some comments about our United States Senator.
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Byrne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The other day, I noticed when our United States Senator was here visiting us that he had a very powerful imagination. And really fantastic imagination. He brought a number of ideas here to us, and he criticized one of my favorite subjects, my homestead initiative, and it upset me quite a bit. But in his ideas, in his flights of imagination here, we call them delusions in the work that I did before I came in the legislature in my professional field. But he had these flights of ideas, this imagination going, and he came up with a bunch of things which were kind of interesting, and I was thinking about them in perspective, and he talked about a joint land use planning commission which would be applicable to Alaska alone, and it didn't cover any other state, and it was going to be special for Alaska, where we're going to lock up all of our own land with the federal land. And I didn't like that too well. Doesn't apply to any other state in the union, and Mr. Dankworth raised that point that why should it apply to Alaska. And I guess the reason is because the governments own 99% of Alaska, whereas any other state, the worst other state is Nevada, with about 87% owned by the governments. But he talked about a domed, a domed city was another one of his ideas. And going to cover a couple of square miles of land up there with a piece of plastic and build this beautiful city up in the north. And that's nice, but that's not what the people really want. All they want is a few acres of land. They just give us a few acres of land. That's all we're asking for. We're not asking for a big dome city up in the north, but he's going to shove it down our throats anyhow. Whether we want it or not, he's going to give it to us. It's kind of interesting philosophy that here's the United States Senator coming back to Alaska, and he's going to shove down our throats a big dome city up in the north, and we don't want a big dome city. We just want some land is all. Interesting, isn't it? Then he comes up with another idea yesterday, which was to give us all $20,000 apiece, from some investment scheme that he has, which was also a very interesting concept, and I enjoyed listening to his presentation on it. But again, it's the same type of thing, that he's going to give us something that that we're not asking him for. We're asking for some land. That's all that the people want, and he's going to shove a big investment down our throats, which he claims will give us all, $10,000 or $20,000 a year income. Kind of fun. Well, all we're trying to do is get about 8% of this land up here in this state into private ownership. Right now we have 1% in private ownership. We're trying to get about 8% of the whole state in private ownership. That's all we're trying to do. we're even going to willing to let the government keep 92% of it in government ownership. You know, we're conceding that the bureaucrats are controlling us, that we the people don't run, you know, our government. You know, we're conceding that the government is our master instead of our slave. And we're saying we'll just take 8% and we'll leave you bureaucrats with 92%. But we still can't make that work. I mean, we still can't get the bureaucrats to go along with us. And I consider elected officials bureaucrats also. I don't exclude us from being bureaucrats. Another thing was, it was kind of interesting, he told us that if we passed this homestead initiative, that the feds would never give us our state land. You know, and I think that's a blatant attempt to intimidate us into not taking our land. I don't know why he's so set on keeping land in government ownership. You know, that's really a socialist, you know, dream. And he keeps saying, constantly referred to in his remarks, that it was capitalism versus socialism. And yet, he kept saying that he wants the capitalist concepts to prevail. And yet at the same time, every one of his actions is to, you know, promote socialism. And right now, thanks to guys like him, I can say that as far as land is concerned, that this state of Alaska is the first state in the United States that's socialist. You know, first state in the United States that's socialist. And that's the way Alaska is today. Well, I don't think we should be intimidated. I think we should go ahead and take our land. It's our land. We have a constitutional right to it. We should take it and we should keep it. And the heck with the federal government. My last point is this, that Judas Iscariot, in biblical times, sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. That's what the Bible says. And what Senator Gravel is talking about doing is, for $500 million, he's going to sell Alaska to the federal government. And I think that's wrong. But I'm going to nickname him Judas Gravel from this point forward. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor for two or three other not-so-serious remarks?
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Freeman.
I understand my colleague from Anchorage riding the horse on the Homestead Initiative and using this as an opportunity to make a few snide remarks about the junior United States Senator, and maybe some of his remarks do have, his approaches may have imagination beyond reach of some people, but you'll have to give him credit for one thing. He knows how to handle the press. Mr. Speaker, my next remark Mark doesn't make much more sense than that one, but it's kind of a question on my part, and I would kind of ask for some assistance from my colleagues, and it's one that's bothered me a long time, and that's over Mr. Chatterton's remarks this morning brought it to mind again, and that's on the proper pronunciation of the Prudhoe Bay. Is it Prudhoe or Prudhoe? And I've never been able to get the correct answer to that. And if somebody after the session, I would hope would straighten me out. I myself have chosen to say Prudhoe because I attended a meeting one day, as a matter of fact, Representative Anderson was chairing a meeting, and they kept talking about the crude oil from the North Slope, and I sit in the audience, and this gentleman he said Prudhoe all the time, but he seemed to mix it up once in a while, and sitting there listening to them, if a person says Prudhoe, and when you start talking about Prudhoe crude, if you get mixed a little, it comes out Crudhoe crude. It's not all that bad. But I was listening, and this gentleman, and from time to the other, he came up with Prudhoe crude, and then he come up with Crudhoe prude, and then, but the bad one was when he came up with Prudhoe crud. And so since then, I've often wondered what the proper pronunciation was, and if somebody could help me, I'd appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor to speak on the word Prudho?
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Speaker, Prudho Bay was named after the Earl of Prudho by an English explorer in 1826 who was up in that country. His name was Franklin. And the Earl of Prudho, long since dead, was in the Royal Navy. And he and his descendants and his forebears pronounced it Prudho. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, just very briefly, as a personal note, I really don't care how you pronounce it as long as the oil companies spell it right when they send out their checks.
Announcement of committee meetings. Representative Brown.
We'll have a kind of a bag lunch meeting of the Select Committee on Telecommunications at 12:30 in room 207 of the Assembly to basically talk about whatever anybody wants to talk to the committee about, and to Professor Merritt, who is in town for the next couple of days. Next week he will be at the Alaska Broadcasters Association convention. So that's members, and anybody else who has some concerns and want to ask the consultant about are welcome to come.
Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, is that a brown bag lunch?
Representative Cooper.
Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet this afternoon at 1:15 to take up Senate Bill 401, Supplemental Appropriation of Public Safety, and House Bill 395, Community Mental Health Services Act, House Bill 692, Election Pamphlet Information, House Bill 622, North-South Runway, and Senate Bill 440, in keeping with our observation of Whale Day, the Special Appropriation of the Eskimo Whaling Commission. At 1:30 this afternoon, there will be a meeting in Courtroom A over across the street of the Steering Council on Alaska Lands.
Representative Gardner.
Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today on House Bill 392, Medical Examiner, House Bill 860, Mopeds, House Bill 753, Birth Registration for Foreign-Born Children.
Representative Rudd.
Community and Regional Affairs will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock on House Bill 899 relating to the Senior Citizens Property Tax Exemption.
Further announcements? Representative Osterbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resource will meet today in Capitol Room 118, taking up at SJR 41 on D2 land withdrawal. House Bill 854, leasing of state lands, oil and gas development. House Bill 878, oil and gas taxation.
Representative McKinnon.
The Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8 to take up House Bill 879. Dealing with the merger of cooperative and non-cooperative utilities, and also to hold confirmation hearings on the nomination of Harry Donahue to the Alaska Pipeline Commission.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, Hess will meet at 3 this afternoon. First, we have a meeting with the State Board of Education, and then we'll take House Bill 548, Education of Exceptional Children.
Representative Brown.
Can we have shorties, please?
House. We're under announcement of committee meetings. No further announcements. Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I note that our calendar says that there is Republican luncheon today at Sawyer's Kitchen at noon with Representative Lathine as the speaker. But Representative Lathine is out of town. I'm not sure how he's going to be the speaker. But you can go down to Sawyer's Kitchen and for a Republican luncheon and see the mystery guest of the day.
Further announcements. Further business to come before the House. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I have a request, and I move at this time that Representative Anderson be excused from the call April 7th through April 10th.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The member will be excused on the dates indicated.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that Representative Meekin be excused through plain time tomorrow.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted.
To come before the chambers, I'll ask unanimous consent we stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.